I'll ignore that side of the room. So as we were sharing this morning, we were sharing about dads. So we're going to share about my dad. This is my dad. My dad was born in 1923. He was the oldest of six children, grew up on a farm east of town in LaPrairie Township, lived during the Depression, served in World War II in the Philippines, married my mom in 1949. But to be a dad, you have to have kids.
Which one is you?
Mm. The yellow one. So, when I got this picture, I had to ask when it was taken, because this was the old house, the first house, and they moved out of there in January of 1962, so this had to be probably fall of 1961.
Wow.
That's a long time ago. That was like back in the 1900s.
Blonde hair.
Oh, yeah. And then it wasn't blonde anymore. But Dad worked for Parker Penn for 40 years. Dad was always known for having a pen in his pocket, and I don't know if I can see it there, but you know, wouldn't be able to wear a shirt like this because there's no pocket.
Yeah.
Had to have a pen in his pocket. He also drove school bus and worked at Parker, and then as he got closer to retire from Parker, he started driving more charter buses and had been all over the country. My dad was respected by people. And I think that's one thing that he instilled in me, in my brothers, was a respect for authority, respect, you know, if you're at your friend's house, you gotta respect their parents. Because
yep.
You didn't wanna get home and have that phone call that, you wouldn't believe what he did when you were here. And also respect for the church. And I word it that way, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. My dad passed away in 1998, on the 3rd of September.
Okay, I'll always remember.
Thank you. There's a 1972 song, that's the first line of the song.
Yeah.
And we always joke that, well, we can always remember when my dad died. So, but really what we're gonna talk about today is, Lord, teach us to pray.
Amen.
Now, we need a little background on me before we get into this. I grew up in a denominational church, went to church school for a few years, didn't learn much, but I did go to the church school for a few years. And I'm not speaking against the denominational church in any way, shape, or form. But it was there and at home where I learned to pray. I learned about church. At home, you learned to pray. You prayed grace at the meal. You prayed the Lord's Prayer. At the parochial school, you memorized the Lord's Prayer. And it was good for any situation. You prayed it in the morning. School started. You prayed it afternoon. You prayed it before lunch. You know, if you were a bad kid and you got punished, you had to go and say it a certain number of times. Not that I ever had to do that. So we need to fast forward now a few years. And after I came to know the Lord, I was told that that was bad, that that prayer was bad. It was the prayer that they pray in those churches. And again, I didn't understand. I didn't understand what that meant, being a new believer. Nancy and I were at, I think it was a funeral, might have been a wedding. There's a difference. It was just a long time ago, and I don't quite remember. But, and I remember Nancy turning to me when it got to the point of the service where they were going to say the Lord's Prayer, and she said, remember, you can't say that. I have to assume that somewhere along the line, because she was saved before I was, that somebody told her that. Now, why they told her that, I don't know. And I didn't understand how something that Jesus gave us could be bad. So I guess maybe what they meant is it was just, you know, not just recite the prayer, but prayer should come from the heart and the soul. Now, perhaps I'm a slow learner and it took me 35 years to figure this out. And I realize what I'm going to talk about is something we all probably know, but this is what I've learned, what the Lord's Prayer means to me. So what I want to do today is I want to take a deeper dive into Matthew 6 or Luke chapter 11. I use the NIV for this, so if you want to follow along, because I was lazy and didn't put notes out. But this is where the disciples went to Jesus and said, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." Now, the disciples knew what prayer was. They were just starting to understand some of the power and understand who Jesus was. But they needed some guidance. Now, they didn't ask, "Lord, teach us how to fish better. Teach us how to turn water into wine." They asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Chapter 5 starts with Jesus addressing the multitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, as it's called in a lot of places. He talks about life as a believer, a life of grace and glory that can only come from God. And as we read in chapter 6, starting at verses 5 through 8, "And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand in the synagogues and in the street corners and be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what you do in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as heathens do, or do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words." Now, I know that we've all been in church services or things where we've heard people just babbling on. Maybe that's what they meant when they said, you know, don't say that prayer. Anyways, "Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need when you ask him." And he went on to say, "This is how you should pray." So we're going to be like the denominational church, and we're going to recite the Lord's Prayer together. Do you have it? Oh, it does start. I was reading the first line. I'm sorry. I'm new to this. Together. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread." Oh, did I really? Oh, well, verse 12 is, "Forgive our debts as we forgive those debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." The NIV did not have that one. All right. So anyways, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Jesus says, "Our Father." Now, this wasn't common. Old Testament would never have said anything like that. When people lived in that time, they would never have used this phrase. But Jesus used "Our Father," the Creator, the Redeemer, the Provider, Defender, the King of the heavens. Jesus said, "Our Father." He didn't say, "My Father." So it was inclusive because we are children of our Father. If we are children of God, we must be born of God. John 1, 12 and 13. "But to all who received him, to all who believed in his name, He gave the right to become children of God, who are born not of blood or a will of the flesh, nor of will of man, but of God. It emphasizes becoming a child of God. It's not earned, it's received through faith and spiritual rebirth. Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. As I was going through and doing some of this and preparing for it, one of the things I looked at showed how the Lord's Prayer is like a parallel of the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed be the peacemakers, for they shall inherit the earth. You know, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. It paralleled down. So Jesus used our Father, therefore we are brothers and sisters. And because we have the same Father, we belong, relating to the Father. He's our protector, our provider. He gives us discipline, love, and support. You know, a couple weeks ago, we were talking, or Pastor Sue was talking about brothers. And it's, obviously, I had three older brothers. but to think of Jesus as a brother is just, it's kind of mind-blowing. How can that be? Yeah. Or how can I have God as my Father? I guess another way to look at it is adoption. We're adopted into the family of God. And I heard a teaching from Max Lucado where he said, we have all heard of an unplanned pregnancy. Have you ever heard of an unplanned adoption? I mean, people go to great lengths to adopt a child. They seek out that child. They're willing to provide whatever that child needs. God does the same thing for us. He seeks us out to bring us home to Him. He wants you to be His child. Romans 8:15. The Spirit you receive does not make you slave, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about by adoption to sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. You know, Abba, Father, which translates to Papa or Dad, it makes Abba, Father a more intimate, a more personal phrase. It shows a closeness, a trusting relationship. When my crew over here introduces me to their friends, they don't say, this is my father, this is my dad, this is my papa. You know, when Wednesdays was Papa Pickup Day, it wasn't, oh, today is Wednesday, therefore Grandfather Timothy's retrieval of Bethany and Jace's youngest daughter from the elementary school on Memorial Drive, named after the second president, John Adams. She could have walked home in that time. But it shows that closeness. Galatians 4:4-7. But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because we are His sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit that calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer slaves, but God's child, and since you are His child, He has made you His heir. Sonship signifies believers are legal heirs to all the promises of God. Legal heirs. You know, you have the inheritance. You hear about an inheritance, you know. Someone died and they left you something, hopefully something good, but they left you something. You have inherited that. So as we go on in heaven, the next part of the prayer, the dwelling place of God, the God of the universe, it can also symbolize the majesty, the almighty power, and the presence of a living, loving God. Hallowed be your name. Representing God's name to be treated holy, revered, honored, exalted, set apart. And, you know, there's the father, and there's the dad. And I think sometimes when we talk about the Lord or the relationship in the Lord, or I think of the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Well, it's not, yes, he's your friend. Yes, he's your dad. But he is our Holy Father. As I said, he's set apart. It's recognizing God's supreme worthiness. It asking that his reputation be sanctified in the world and personally acknowledging that. It's a pledge to him to put him first. Psalm 34, 1 through 3. I exalt the Lord at all times. His praise will always be in my lips. I will glorify the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Give the Lord to me. Let me exalt our name together. Exalt his name. Your kingdom come. We pray that the kingdom of God to come. So we are praying for something that has yet to happen. We want it to come soon, but we want it to come. We are asking for the full effectiveness, the full rule of God of the heavens here on the earth. Your will be done. God's plan. Because, you know, God's plan for our lives is probably better than ours. We are expressing our willingness to submit to God's plan. It's a surrender of our own desires and plans to align with God's will, God's divine plan for our lives. Proverbs 16:9, the hearts of humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes the steps. We want to follow in the steps that the Lord has made for us. Again, I realize we all heard this before, but you get to hear it again. Here on earth, at a recent men's meeting, we heard a teaching from Kenny Luck, and he talked about bringing God's agenda down to the place that we occupy. It's heaven and earth, and we want to bring it together. We want to transform this physical, broken world into God's kingdom, where his glory and have the fullness and holiness of God. Our daily bread. We're asking God for the provisions in our lives. Goes back to the time of Moses in Exodus when the Israelites were wandering around in the wilderness. Exodus 16:4-5. The Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day, gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them to see if they will follow my instruction. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they need to bring in, and this be twice as much as they're preparing to gather for the next day. Our needs are going to be met. God will provide our needs. again, but we also need to ask him. We need to include him in all things. Matthew 7:7-11. I had to throw this one in. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. This is a verse that is kind of my verse. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For anyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Did I ever give you a stone over there, son, when you asked for bread? Or if he asked for a fish, no. I know that didn't happen in the back row. Would never ask for a fish back there. Would give him a snake. If you then thought you were evil, know how could good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give you good gifts to those who seek him? Seek him, you know? He's ready to open that door. But he's adopted you, yes. You still have to receive it. He wants all of us, and it's a two-way street. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Debts, sins. Forgive us our sins. And as I was going through and reading things, this was described as vertical forgiveness and horizontal forgiveness. Now, you know, if you were old like me and maybe others in here, you had vertical holes on the TV. You always had to adjust because the picture was rolling. But vertical forgiveness, God to man. God pardons human sin. It's an act of pure grace. We get God's grace. Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed the transgressions from us. In Hebrews 8:12, I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. They're gone. Horizontal forgiveness, man to man. This isn't as easy. Because we sometimes just don't want to give it up. We don't want to forgive, you know, because if I don't forgive you, you know, it's on you. It's not on me. But we are to forgive those who harm us. This establishes man's willingness to forgive others is directed by their understanding of God's reception of God's forgiveness. Basically, you got to forgive people so God can forgive you. Matthew 6:14-15. If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others of their sins, your Heavenly Father will not forgive yours. Our debts, our sins. When we come to know the Lord, we must confess we are indeed sinners. This could be written, forgive us daily our sins. But then you hear people that go, oh, well, I haven't sinned. I'm not a sinner. Or as Pastor Daly used to say, you know where all sinners go. But if we claim we are without sin, this is John, or 1 John 1, 8 through 10. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, We make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Temptation and deliverance. Again, we're asking God for his guidance with daily, with the temptation, with the sin in our lives, and to protect us from the evil one, to protect us from Satan. James 1, 13 and 14. When tempted, do not say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. We don't put God first. We put other things first that are drawing us away from him. So if you take this example of prayer that Jesus gave us, this would be a model, a guide for the prayer. Jesus taught us this prayer. We approach our awesome God. We worship him. We ask him for his will in our lives. We let him provide our daily needs. We admit our sins to him. We turn from our sins. We forgive others. We stay out of the way of temptation. So, how could this be wrong? How could this be bad? You know, and the more I thought about it, I was at a funeral a week or so ago. And this was a friend of mine's mother passed away. I should say mom passed away, because she was like a mom to many, many people. And it was a very formal service. And the minister in this case got up and said, "We are now going to recite the Lord's Prayer." And everybody got up, and everybody stood, and all you heard was, you didn't even hear the minister. He was mumbling it. It was the most sickening feeling that you had. You know, no, you don't need to stand there and jump up and down and look at me, I'm praying. But, you know, you don't go to your dad and go, well, maybe you do, you know, Dad, you know, I've been mad. You know, you're talking to our Father, the God of the universe. Don't mumble it. Get up there and speak it out. You know, he wants to hear from you. You know, I guess I'm going to close and just say, prayer is not words, it's a privilege. Yes. And it's a privilege that we have to talk to our Heavenly Dad.
Thank you, Tim. That was good reminders. And as I was sitting there, I was thinking, you know, the enemy has tried to rob us as believers from a lot of good things. And this is one of them. That oftentimes born-again believers just ignore the Lord's Prayer. How can we ignore Jesus' direction to us? I just thought of how many other things that the enemy has tried to rob that God has wanted to give to us. You know, if we don't understand what we call the Lord's Prayer, some people said it shouldn't be the Lord's Prayer, it should be the disciples' prayer. Because Jesus didn't pray it. He was teaching his disciples how to pray it. It robs us. You know, where else? There are a lot of places it talks about Father, but it puts it all together so beautifully in these instructions on how to pray. And it just reminded me of the relationship of each one of these things. Especially when Tim was talking about the forgiveness part. And then right after the forgiveness part comes, don't lead us into temptation. Think about that. If we don't forgive, we're opening the door for that. So it is just an absolutely beautiful thing. But I think of, what are some other things that the enemy has robbed, tried to rob the church of? Yeah, repentance. We're supposed to be embarrassed, you know, to repent. That some Bibles don't even use that word anymore. And if we don't, that robs us of our whole relationship with God. Anything else that the devil is, you think you can see that the devil is trying to rob from the church? Yeah, oh yeah. You know, coming to church with all the technology and more and more and more, pretty soon we'll have AI preachers. We already have AI Bibles. Do you know that? Yeah. That I'm sure if Tim was preparing on the computer, he had little prompts that said, would you like AI to rewrite this? Have you come across that? Well, I will tell you from this pulpit, whoever is here isn't going to have AI rewrite the message. You know, that there's in a lot of people's mind, there's no reason to come to church because you can watch it on TV. Well, I get just as much from it. Well, I'm not against watching things on TV, but God says what? Don't neglect coming together, as some do. I mean, he saw ahead and knew that. Anything else that you can think of? Worship, yeah. Yeah, I am a Sirius radio person, and they added a new channel earlier this spring, which was kind of cool, because the regular Christian channel had on the regular radio music. Now, I'm not against Christian radio, because it has its own purpose. It is not really a worship center. It ministers to people, so a lot of the songs talk more about me than about God, and that helps them. You know, if you're in a hard place, like some of those songs really can minister to you. So again, I'm not against that, but you're not. And the Sirius Radio added another channel that is a worship channel, and I am so enjoying that when I'm in the car, because I want, that's what I want. You know, is more of that. So I was really kind of excited. They said temporarily, so we'll see. We'll see that. So, yeah, because, and then people want to come to church and they want to sing the songs they hear on the radio. Well, all the songs that you hear on the radio are not appropriate for worship. They may be wonderful songs and they minister to you, but it's not the same as worship. So that's a good point, Tim. A lot of good points from Tim today. what else has the enemy tried to rob?
Along with repentance, I would say atonement, because people don't want to believe that there's something to receive that someone else did for us, that Jesus did for us.
Yeah. Yeah, if you don't get the repentance part, you lose the atonement, you know, that he's made us right, that's possible. You know, even if we have some people have the doctrine right, but they can't apply it to self because they can't believe that somebody would do that for them. You know, the whole idea of grace and love of God as opposed to earning. You know, you have to earn. And how many people, if we would ask a group of people, even believers, say, is respect something you have to earn? Most people would say yes. And I always had fun doing this when I taught high school. And I would say, I start out with lies that you have been told. And that's one of them. You should not have to earn anybody's respect. That you deserve respect just because you're there. Because you're a human being, because of whatever. The world wants you to say, earn, 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 earn. And God says no. And I tell the kids, well, now, if you do something to lose my respect, you may have to earn it back. But that's different. You know, love is not something you earn. Respect is not something you earn. That whole concept of God's grace has been so eroded. And I think of the enemy likes to plant things wherever, having been to Israel a number of times, you see this. Every place where Jesus did amazing things, the enemy has tried to steal. Bethlehem has been stolen, really, by Muslims. Jewish people can't even go in there. Christians can't go in there every day. Nazareth, there's not a Jewish person that lives in Nazareth. They're not allowed. And again, Nazareth is a very strong Muslim population. Wherever God has planted something, and I think of our own town. You know, the Gideons had a good beginning. The whole thing didn't begin here, but the beginnings were related to Janesville. There were revivals that came to Janesville. The enemy is trying to rob any of that. When I've been studying like the foundations of our nation, think of all the revivals that happened out east. The history of Massachusetts, the history of some of those states, Vermont even. And now what are they? They are the armpits of the most liberal, anti-God places on the earth. And one of the things that we have to pray, Lord, teach us to pray, is to grab back those things, to reawaken. That's why the Tuesday reawakening prayer, Awaken Janesville, is important, or any time our prayers is like, we've got the foundation, and we just have to take it back. But today is not my day to preach, so I'm going to close with a blessing. God is just good. He's our good. There's that song, He's a good, good Father. You know, he just is. And some of us didn't have good fathers, but that doesn't mean that God isn't still good. So, Lord, again, I pray a special blessing on the fathers today. We thank you for the ones that we had who are no longer with us. We thank you for what they put into our lives. We thank you, Lord God, that we have a heritage, if not from our earthly fathers, many of us do, but for all of us, we have a heritage from our Heavenly Father, our Father, as Tim so clearly articulated to us. He is our Father, and yet He is the King of the universe. We can call the King of the universe Daddy, but that does not take Him off the throne. He invites us into that place. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you for who you are. I thank you for the word. Thank you for Tim for bringing it forth. Just bless him and continue to bless him, Lord God, as he seeks and studies your word. Lord, be with us the rest of today, the rest of this week. Lead us, guide us, and use us for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.